Welcome back to the deep dive.
Today, we're kind of going hyper local, not just thinking about our community, but how we can actively shape it. We're diving into a concept that might initially sound kind of radical to some people, market anarchy. Imagine like replacing government services with private voluntary solutions. So think private courts, private security, even private defense instead of a national army.
Interesting.
Sounds pretty wild,
It's
right?
definitely a shift from how we usually think about society.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating is this system might actually be more efficient
Okay.
and fair than what we have now.
Interesting.
It proposes a world with lower costs, more individual freedom,
Okay.
impacting everything from product safety to professional licensing
Wow.
right here in our community.
Now I know what you're thinking. How could we function without a government handling those things?
Yeah, that's a big one. That was my first reaction
Of
too.
course.
But let's unpack this source material you shared with us and see how this could play out in our daily lives.
Okay.
And maybe even spark some ideas for local action.
All right.
And hey, if this deep dive gets you thinking,
Yeah.
consider supporting our Think and Act Locally mission.
Okay.
The donation link is in the show notes.
Great. So
So,
the foundation of market anarchy is this concept of voluntary contracts instead of laws that are imposed from above. All interactions are based on agreements that we make with each other. In a way, it's an extension of what we already do every time we sign an employment agreement, a rental lease, even enter a shopping mall. We're entering into a contract.
So instead of relying on the government to like set the rules,
Right.
we choose the rules we agree to.
Exactly.
That sounds like it puts a lot more power in the hands of individuals,
Yeah.
which aligns with that think and act locally
For
mindset.
sure.
But I'm curious what happens when those contracts are broken.
Yeah.
In our current system, we have courts,
Right.
law enforcement. How would that function in a world without government?
Well, that's where insurance companies come in. They would play a much bigger role than they do now. Not just covering accidents or health issues, but guaranteeing contracts and ensuring restitution for victims of crime. Imagine your contract insurance premium going up if you have a history of breaking agreements. It creates a strong financial incentive to behave responsibly.
It's kind of like car insurance.
Exactly.
Reckless drivers pay higher premiums.
Right.
And in this system, someone with a history of,
Yeah.
say, theft would face higher costs for their contract insurance.
Decisely.
I can see how that could be a powerful deterrent,
Yeah.
especially on a local level.
Right. Yeah.
But
Yeah.
wouldn't this create a system where only the wealthy can afford to engage in contracts?
Not necessarily. Remember, we're talking about a competitive market here. There would likely be a range of insurance options available, catering to different needs and budgets. Competition would drive innovation, potentially making these services more accessible and affordable than we might imagine.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
It challenges my initial assumption that this system would only benefit the wealthy.
Right.
But
Yeah.
I'm still a bit fuzzy on the enforcement part.
Okay.
Who actually apprehends criminals in this system?
All right.
Would it be like the Wild West out there?
So instead of government police, think specialized security firms competing for clients, offering services like protection, investigation, and apprehension. And remember, it's all rooted in property rights. These firms wouldn't be able to just barge into anyone's home. They'd need prior contractual consent to operate on private property. Very much in line with that think and act locally idea of community control.
So if I wanted to live in a community
Yeah.
with a certain level of security,
Right.
I'd sign a contract with a firm that operates in that area.
That's right.
It almost sounds like choosing your own utilities provider,
Exactly.
but for safety and security.
Precisely, you'd have choices, just like with any other service. Different firms might offer different approaches to security and law enforcement, different levels of service, and of course, different prices. You'd be empowered to choose what works best for you and your community.
Now that's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
I could see how that could empower local communities to tailor their security to their specific needs. But what happens if there are disputes
Yeah.
between these private security firms?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that lead to chaos in the streets?
It's a valid concern.
Yep.
But remember, these are businesses, not governments.
Okay.
They're driven by profit. And warfare is bad for business.
Right.
It's far more likely they'd find ways to resolve disputes peacefully.
Okay.
Perhaps even through arbitration.
Interesting.
Much like businesses do today.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But how do we know these private security firms wouldn't become too powerful?
Okay.
It seems like they could easily form their own kind of mini governments.
Right.
With their own rules and agendas.
Again, competition is key here.
Right.
If one firm became too dominant or abusive, people could simply switch to a competitor.
Right.
And let's not forget the power of the community.
Yeah.
If a security firm wasn't living up to its contract,
right,
the community could collectively choose to withdraw their support.
That's a really interesting point.
Yeah.
It seems like this system, while unconventional, could actually lead to a more responsive and accountable form of security, especially at the local level.
Exactly.
But what about those who can't afford any security at all?
Yeah.
Would they just be left vulnerable?
That's a critical question.
Yeah.
And it touches on the broader issue of social safety nets in a market anarchy.
Right.
It's a complex topic.
Yeah.
And one we'll definitely need to delve into further.
Okay.
But for now, let's shift our focus to another controversial area.
All right.
The justice system.
Okay.
In a world without government courts,
yeah,
how would disputes be settled?
Right.
Would it be a free-for-all with the strongest always prevailing? Well, that idea of a free-for-all justice system, that's a common concern.
Yeah.
But in a market anarchy,
right,
courts wouldn't just disappear.
Okay.
They'd simply be privatized.
Yeah.
Instead of a government-run judiciary,
yeah,
we'd have competing courts vying for clients, just like those security firms we discussed.
Competing courts.
Yep.
So instead of going to a government courthouse,
mm-hmm,
I'd choose from a range of private options.
That's the idea.
It sounds a bit like choosing a doctor or a lawyer, but for resolving disputes.
Exactly. These private courts would offer different legal frameworks, different procedures, and of course, varying costs.
Right.
Some might specialize in certain types of disputes.
Oh.
Business contracts.
Okay.
Property disagreements, even personal injury cases.
Interesting.
Think of it as a more tailored approach to justice.
That's an intriguing idea.
Yeah.
Especially from a think and act locally perspective.
Right.
Communities could choose court systems that align with their specific values and needs.
For sure.
But wouldn't this create a system where justice is simply for sale, where the wealthy can buy favorable rulings?
Critics often raise that concern.
Yeah.
But competition could actually make justice more affordable and accessible.
All right.
Think about it in our current system.
Yeah.
Legal fees are often exorbitant.
Right.
Especially for those with limited resources.
Yeah.
Private courts, driven by the need to attract clients, might offer more affordable options.
Hmm.
Even innovative fee structures.
Like what?
Like outcome-based pricing.
Outcome-based pricing. So you only pay if you win your case?
Exactly.
That would definitely incentivize courts to be fair and efficient.
Right.
It's amazing to think how market forces could potentially democratize access to justice.
Yeah.
In a way that our current system struggles to do.
It's an interesting thought.
But I'm curious who would enforce these court rulings.
Right.
We can't exactly call the police if we're talking about a stateless society.
You're right. The traditional enforcement mechanisms wouldn't apply.
Okay.
Instead, it would likely involve a combination of reputation systems and contractual agreements.
Uh-huh.
Remember those insurance companies that guarantee contracts?
Yeah.
They'd play a key role here, too.
So if someone refused to comply with a court ruling?
Right.
Their insurance premiums would skyrocket, or maybe they'd even be denied coverage.
That's a possibility.
That would certainly make people think twice before ignoring a judgment.
It would create a strong incentive to comply.
Right.
And there's another interesting aspect to consider.
What's that?
Reputation.
Okay.
In a society where trust and reliability are paramount, having a reputation for ignoring court rulings would be incredibly damaging.
Yeah, I can see that.
It could affect your ability to get a job.
Right.
Secure a loan, even rent an apartment.
Interesting.
Think of it as a decentralized system of social enforcement.
That's fascinating. So it sounds like in a market anarchy,
yeah,
Accountability isn't just about laws and punishments.
Yeah.
It's woven into the fabric of everyday life.
Exactly.
It really makes you think about the power of social pressure.
Yeah.
And how it could potentially be harnessed to create a more just and equitable society.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the people who do commit crimes?
Okay.
Even in this system?
Right.
Where would they go? Would prisons still exist?
Prisons would likely still exist,
okay.
But their function might change dramatically.
In what way?
As with everything else in a market anarchy. They'd be private entities.
Okay.
Subject to market forces and consumer choice.
Consumer choice.
Imagine choosing a prison based on its rehabilitation programs, safety record, even its amenities.
Wait, are you saying prisoners would have a choice in where they serve their time?
It's a possibility.
That sounds like a very different approach to incarceration than what we're used to.
Think about it. Instead of one-size-fits-all government prisons,
right,
often overcrowded and focused on punishment,
yeah,
you'd have a variety of options.
Okay.
Perhaps even specialized facilities for different types of offenses.
Interesting.
Or different levels of risk.
Mm.
Competition would drive innovation,
yeah,
potentially leading to more humane and effective approaches to rehabilitation.
So instead of being warehouses for criminals,
right,
prisons could become centers for personal transformation and reintegration into society.
Exactly.
That's a powerful idea, especially in the context of our Think and Act Locally mission.
Mm.
It suggests that even something as challenging as crime and punishment,
yeah,
could be addressed in a way that empowers individuals and strengthens communities.
That's the goal.
But how would this system handle the truly dangerous individuals?
Okay.
Those who pose a serious threat to society.
That's a critical question.
Yeah.
And one that any justice system, whether government-run or private,
right,
must grapple with.
Of course.
Even in a market anarchy, there would need to be mechanisms for protecting society from those who pose a serious threat.
So we're talking about secure facilities,
yeah,
for those who can't be safely integrated back into society,
right,
even after rehabilitation efforts.
Potentially, yes.
Okay.
But even these facilities would operate under a different set of incentives.
Okay.
In a market anarchy, they wouldn't be motivated by profit in the traditional sense.
Right.
Their primary focus would be on minimizing risk.
Okay.
The risk of escapes, the risk of violence within the facility,
yeah,
the risk of recidivism.
It's fascinating to think about how market forces could transform even something as complex,
right,
and emotionally charged as the prison system.
It's a very different way of thinking about it.
But let's shift gears and tackle another big question.
All right.
One that often comes up when discussing market anarchy.
Yep.
National defense.
Right.
In a world without a government.
Yeah.
How would a stateless society protect itself from outside threats?
Hmm.
Would we all need to become gun-toting survivalists?
That's a common misconception.
Okay.
The absence of government doesn't mean the absence of defense.
Right.
In a market anarchy, defense would simply be handled differently.
How so?
Instead of a national army.
Okay.
We'd likely see a network of private defense agencies competing for clients and offering a range of protective services.
Private armies. That sounds like something out of a science fiction novel.
I know it sounds a bit out there.
Who would hire these private defense agencies?
Okay, good question.
And how would they be funded? Would it be like a pay-to-play system?
Uh-huh.
Where only the wealthy can afford protection?
It's not as far-fetched as it might seem.
All right.
Remember, we already see private security firms operating in many parts of the world.
That's true.
Providing protection for individuals,
yeah,
businesses, even governments.
Right.
In a market anarchy, this concept would simply be scaled up,
okay,
to encompass national defense.
And the primary clients for these defense agencies would likely be. So before we went to our break, we were talking about these private defense agencies,
yeah,
and their potential role in a stateless society.
Yeah.
And you were just about to tell me who their primary clients would be.
It might surprise you.
Okay.
But the primary clients for these defense agencies would likely be insurance companies.
Insurance companies again.
Yeah.
They really seem to be the linchpin
uh-huh.
in this whole market anarchy system.
Think about it.
Okay.
If a foreign power were to attack,
right,
it's the insurance company. Who would be on the hook for the billions, even trillions of dollars
wow.
in damages?
That's a lot.
They'd have a huge financial incentive
okay.
to prevent that from happening
mm-hmm.
and would be willing to invest heavily
right.
in defense to protect their clients' assets. Mm-hmm. It aligns perfectly with their core business
yeah.
of risk management.
So instead of paying taxes to a government for defense,
yeah.
people would pay insurance premiums.
Yep.
And those premiums would fund the defense agencies.
That's the basic idea.
That's a very different model.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that create a free rider problem?
Okay.
What's to stop people from opting out of insurance,
Yeah.
knowing they'll still be protected
Right.
if their neighbors are paying for it?
That's a common concern.
Yeah.
But remember, insurance wouldn't just cover damage from foreign attacks.
Okay.
It would also cover things like theft, assault, and breach of contract.
Right.
Opting out of insurance would mean giving up a whole lot more
Okay.
than just protection from invasion. It's true. Plus, the defense market
Yeah.
wouldn't be a one-size-fits-all situation.
What do you mean?
Well, different people and organizations would have different levels of risk
Right.
and different defense needs. A large corporation with billions of dollars in assets
Right.
would have a much stronger incentive to invest in high-level protection
Right. Yeah.
than an individual homeowner.
So those with the most to lose
Yeah.
would naturally gravitate towards more comprehensive defense coverage,
Exactly.
regardless of what others choose to do. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But wouldn't this lead to a system where only the wealthy can afford to be safe?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Competition would likely drive innovation and variety in the defense market, just like it would in other sectors.
Right.
We could see a range of defense options emerge, catering to different needs and budgets.
Okay.
Think community-based defense cooperatives,
All right.
specialized protection services for small businesses. Interesting.
Even individual self-defense training programs.
No, it's interesting to think about how the Think and Act Locally ethos could apply to defense.
For sure.
Communities could pool their resources, assess their own risks, and tailor their defense strategies accordingly.
Exactly.
But I have to ask,
Yeah.
what about advanced weaponry?
Okay.
Could private defense agencies really compete with the military might of nation states? It's hard to imagine them developing things like fighter jets or nuclear weapons.
It's true that private defense agencies would likely face challenges
Right?
when it comes to certain types of high-tech weaponry.
Yeah.
But it's also important to remember that their focus would be on defense,
Okay.
not global power projection.
Right.
And let's not forget the potential for innovation.
Innovation in the defense sector.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Private companies are often at the forefront of technological advancement.
Okay.
And there's no reason to think that wouldn't apply to defense as well.
We could see the emergence of new defensive technologies, perhaps even things we haven't even imagined yet,
Okay.
that could effectively deter aggression
Yeah.
without resorting to weapons of mass destruction.
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
It challenges the assumption that military power is solely the domain of governments.
Right.
But I'm still grappling with this whole concept of a stateless society defending itself.
Okay.
It seems like such a radical departure from the way we think about security and defense.
It is a radical shift,
Yeah.
but that's what Think and Act Locally is all about.
Right.
Challenging conventional wisdom and exploring new ways of organizing our lives and our communities. Market anarchy, while certainly not without its challenges,
Right.
offers a fascinating framework for rethinking how we approach everything,
Yeah.
from law enforcement to dispute resolution
Okay.
to national defense.
This has been a mind-expanding deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
We've covered so much ground. Contracts, insurance, private courts, security firms, even private armies.
It's a lot to take in.
It's a lot to process.
Yeah.
And I'm sure our listeners have a lot to think about as well.
I hope so.
And remember, it all comes back to that core idea of think and act locally.
Exactly.
How can we apply these principles to our own communities,
Right.
to the challenges we face right here, right now? Perhaps it's exploring alternative dispute resolution methods, supporting local security initiatives,
Yeah.
or simply having conversations about the role of government in our lives.
Those are all great ideas.
Every small step can make a difference.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And for those who are inspired to take action,
Yeah.
remember you can support our Think and Act Locally mission.
Great.
The donation link is in the show notes.
Okay.
Every contribution helps us keep these conversations going and empowers us to explore new ideas for building a better future together.
I appreciate that.
Thanks for joining us on the deep dive.
My pleasure.
Until next time, keep thinking,
Yeah.
keep
All
acting,
right.
and keep diving deep.